The Capital Investment Committee hearing for February 15th is called to order. Members and guests, thank you all for being here today. And so we do have many testifiers on the agenda for House File 669 and House File 670. And so I ask for all of you to keep your remarks short, 1 minute, 30 seconds each. And I will follow the lineup that we have on here. And so I will call you up in groups of three. And so first on the agenda, the first group will be Don Meyer, Lisa Freese, and Bill Rennett. And so Don Meyer, please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am Don Meyer, the City Administrator for the City of Belle Plaine, located in Scott County. I am here to respectfully request a $4.5 million capital allocation for our downtown infrastructure rehabilitation project. This request is half of the total project request, with the remainder being paid for by local funds. The project was included in last year's House and Senate bills, but never was passed. This project does include local and regional highways. The project aligns with legislative priorities. It is not new construction, it is infrastructure maintenance. The project also will correct long-standing accessibility and safety challenges located in our historic downtown. This rehabilitation project has to move forward for health purposes. There have been a number of sanitary failures in the last year. The project is set to begin this April. If funding is not received, many micro-businesses, several which are minority and women-owned, along with renters living in naturally occurring affordable housing, will face direct impacts. If capital allocation is not received, the city will be borrowing from our future MSA funds and delaying other needed street and utility rehabilitation projects. Our rural size and location within the Twin Cities Metro poses challenges to secure other outside funding sources. We thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Next up, Lisa Freese, Scott County.
Good afternoon. I am Lisa Freese. I'm the Scott County Transportation Services Director, and I'm here to talk to you today about two requests and ask for your consideration. The first request is for the Merriam Junction Trail. It's a regional trail and state trail co-located in Scott County and Louisville Township, connects to downtown Carver. It's a rails to trails project that we've had under development for nearly two decades. And the funding request will help us with riverbank stabilization and trail construction. We're losing nearly a barge worth of sediment annually from this location, and that's affecting downstream navigation and water supplies. We've been working in partnership with the Minnesota Valley Wildlife Refuge, the Department of Natural Resources, and have commitments from them. We are asking for half of the funding cost of $23 million. We have federal funds, which will expire if we don't get funding in this session. We are also requesting funding for three projects on 169, including the Jordan Interchange. We've had a number of serious injury and fatality accidents at all three of these intersections, and we're requesting your consideration for the Bluff Drive Overpass. That one we're requesting $4.6 million to make some additional extensions. The Highway 169 and 282 intersection interchange project, it's a $47 million project. We have a funding gap of $9.1 million, and we're asking for funding for that, as well as the 169 and County Road 59 intersection, which is where the world's largest candy store is at. And we're asking for a $2.5 million legislative ask on that. These are all very important projects, and it will complete the vision of the 169 corridor that was started in 2000 with MnDOT. And we would respectfully ask for your consideration.
Thank you, Director Freese. And I do want to acknowledge our two members from the local area, Representative Fire and Resident Bakeberg, for being here too. Just know that it's going to take all of our efforts from the legislature to include these projects going forward. Next up, Bill Reynolds, City Administrator Shakopee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I want to thank you very much for the inclusion of the funding for the Riverbank Stabilization and Cultural Trail for the city of Shakopee. Very quickly, just the reason this is so important is for two big reasons. One, we have a very large sewer main that is currently under attack from the river itself as the riverbank continues to erode. And secondly, we have a ton of cultural resources in this particular area where the Dakota first settled, and we very much want to protect that. Thank you again, and I cede my time.
Thank you. So the next three will be Cassie Miles, Great Rivers Children's Museum, Steve Bott, St. Michael, and then Commissioner Showalter. So first up will be Cassie Miles, Director of Great Rivers Children's Museum. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Lee and Vice Chair Ryer and the members of the committee for allowing me time here today. I'll try to talk a little bit fast. My write-up was meant for 2 minutes. again, my name is Cassie Miles. I'm the Executive Director of the Emerging Great River Children's Museum in St. Cloud. We reside in a donated bank building and have completed design phases to renovate and expand to 31,000 square feet. Our construction documents are ready. Last year, Great River Children's Museum made a $7 million capital request of the state. It was critical then, and it is critical now. We have not increased our request despite the effects of inflation and materials costs. We've done our part as well, raising over $10 million from private investors, local families, and businesses in the region. Added to these private donations, your investment in this project will allow us to open our doors. St. Cloud is a diverse community with demographics that have changed dramatically over the last 10 years. Racially and economically, we represent one of the most diverse cities in the state, home to Minnesota's second largest East African immigrant population. I am proud to represent this city and this organization before you today. Learning how to learn is a skill developed by the age of 3. After that time, it is a remedial effort that does not achieve the same benefit. We serve children from birth and see ourselves as integral to the K-12 education preparation process. In addition to serving ECFE programs, child care centers, city and county service organizations, we will also serve over 80 elementary schools in the central Minnesota region that do not have access to a children's museum for field trips and safe quality play. Excuse me. In 2022, Great River Children's Museum became a founding member of the Greater Minnesota Children's Museum Coalition, a group now 10 children's museums strong. I'll jump ahead to the end of my... The benefits of children's museums go far beyond play and family bonds. Museums drive economic growth and with a return of an estimated $5 in tax revenue for every dollar we receive in funding from all levels of government. With large industry growth in the region, we know that we will promote families living and staying in our area. We really hope that you'll consider our project in your bill this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Miles. Next up, we have Steve Bott, City of St. Michael.
Thank you, Chair Lee and members. My name is Steve Bott. I'm the City Administrator and Public Works Director for the City of St. Michael. And thanks to many of you, if you've got the flyer here that we had, this you saw, most of you on the tour that you came out to our wastewater treatment plant facility and saw the issue firsthand that we're dealing with. Namely, about 20 years ago, we put in a series of reed beds shown at the top on the far right. Shown in really rough shape. At the bottom, it shows what they're like when they're active and able to function properly. The PCA and Department of Ag deem them a noxious weed. They essentially grow too well, and thus we've been trying to do what we can to get by without them, but it's just we're failing miserably and need your help to help fund this project as a result of the banning of using these reeds, which are now invasive species. So our request is for $5 million of the $10 million towards the project. Appreciated everybody coming out and seeing the project that did last year. This project has precedent. A similar project was funded through this committee a few years ago in a similar manner. For the city of Albertville, there's about 17 of these communities that have these reed beds, which, by the way, were encouraged by the PCA at the time we put them in as a really cost-effective, great way to help treat biosolids. So our plans are done. The council literally approved them last night. We are ready to go as soon as we can get the funding. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for being here. So next up, we have Commissioner Showalter, and I will also invite Commissioner Dahlenberger and Commissioner Stroman. Please proceed, Commissioner.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jim Showalter, Commissioner of Minnesota Management and Budget. With me are a number of commissioners and leaders from state agencies to provide testimony about some key projects. Just want to say overall, this is a great start. This bill and the delete all is a great start for accomplishing progress this session on capital investment. I'd like to also just note, besides Chair Lee and his contributions and work to put this bill together, Representative Erdahl, and continuing to look for ways of engaging and finding ways forward. I just appreciate that greatly. And note that the requests from the 22 bonding process, you know, we have huge demands for infrastructure. We have significant, important projects, significant numbers of important projects, and we need to start moving on them. You know, the impulse of moving this bill early in session is the right one. These, unlike fine wine or cheese, it doesn't get better from delay. It gets more expensive. It becomes, the project plans become more out of date. So I just appreciate the committee taking these plans and moving them forward. Just want to also note that the bill also increases asset preservation. Significant need for state agencies and upping that number and having a consistent dose of capital investment and asset preservation is a really important thing. So again, thank you. We appreciate the number of governor's recommendations that are in this bill, the work together, and we just thank the committee for consideration.
Thank you, Commissioner Showalter. Next up, Commissioner Dobenberger.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Nancy Dobenberger, and I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Transportation. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on the capital investment bill. We sincerely appreciate your inclusion of funding for so many transportation projects. The local road and bridge funding will provide critical resources for the county, city, and township transportation networks. Minnesota has the fourth largest roadway network in the nation, and most of that system is operated and maintained by our local governments. Funding for rail grade crossing replacements and the significant amount of funding provided for the Minnesota Rail Service Improvement Program will help support investments on over 4,400 miles of railroad tracks. The over $18 million provided for public ports would be the largest investment ever in Port Development Assistance Program. Also, thank you for including funding for the Safe Routes to School, the Active Transportation Program, and the Greater Minnesota Transit Program. These programs all help us achieve our vision of having a multimodal transportation system that maximizes the health of people, the environment, and our economy. Mr. Chair, MnDOT recognizes this bill does not include any trunk highway bonding, and I look forward to working with you and Chairs Dibble and Hornstein so that we can make sure to address those needs in future legislation. Likewise, we look forward to working with you to secure funding for the Northern Lights Express Passenger Rail project between Duluth and Minneapolis. Again, thank you for your work on securing funding for these critical transportation projects and programs. We'd be happy to stay for any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Next up, Commissioner Stroman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm Sarah Stroman. I'm the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. And I'm happy to be here again this afternoon. As you know, I was here recently and talked about the vast needs for capital assets across the state of Minnesota, assets that are managed by the Department of Natural Resources. And so we are very excited to see early progress on a bonding bill. This bill contains some very important investments in places like the State Forest Nursery, Epidora, the Waterville Fish Hatchery, the Hibbing Fire Infrastructure, at the airport there, as well as significant investment in the Lake Vermilion Sudan Underground Mine State Park, Minnesota's newest state park, delivering on that promise to develop that park. I also do want to note that while these investments are extremely important in addressing the most urgent and critical needs of our asset portfolio, they do fall short of addressing the full scope and scale of the needs, which I'm sure is no surprise to you given our presentation last week. And furthermore, they don't achieve the transformational modernization that we're hoping to see across the system to serve all Minnesotans today and the future, in particular, our Get Out More modernizing outdoor recreation experiences. So we look forward to working with the committee to achieve not only these most critical, urgent asset preservation needs, but also those transformative Get Out More investments. The last thing I just want to note is respect to the community tree planting item that is contained in the bill. We're really excited to see that amount. I will just note that because tribal governments and some of the smaller cities are not eligible for bonding, we would appreciate being able to work with you to make sure maybe there are some cash dollars available so that we can make those grants available to all of our partners. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, all the three of you commissioners. Next up, we have Don Kerr, Military Affairs, Ben Johnson from Veterans Affairs, and Safia Khan from DOC Corrections. Welcome, Director Kerr. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Don Kerr, the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs, here on behalf of Major General Mankey, who's in Norway today. And he wanted to send his express appreciation to you, Mr. Chair, Representative Erdahl, and the members of the committee and the staff for including the DMA projects in the bill. We also want to thank you deeply for moving with speed on getting the bill passed. As you know, all of our projects are actually in progress right now, and these are sums that will bring us to completion on those. And the importance of doing that as rapidly as possible is very high. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll yield the rest of my time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Director Kerr. Mr. Johnson.
Chair Lee, members of the committee, my name is Ben Johnson. I'm the Legislative Director for MDVA. Commissioner Herkey is unable to be here today, but as demonstrated in his testimony before this committee on January 30th, he is committed to investing in the success of the domiciliary program and infrastructure at Minnesota Veterans Home Hastings. Our veterans' domiciliary care is distinct from the long-term care skilled nursing offered at our veterans' homes in Minneapolis, Laverne, and Silver Bay. I want to be clear that the residential DOMS program offers mental, chemical, and medical support for veterans who require less than skilled levels of care. Thank you for the inclusion of the state's portion of a match available from the federal government. If we're able to secure the $77.7 million state share, it would leverage access to $144 million in federal funding to renew this campus. We've operated the Hastings campus for 45 years, but the history of that location stretches back to 1902. And the 128-acre site at that time hosted the state's asylum for the hopelessly insane. Over the following 40 years, there were approximately six additions made to buildings on campus, primarily at the main dormitory. Since 1980, we have on four occasions undertaken renovations, but primarily to address health code and safety concerns. Last renovation of this nature was in 2008. As identified in the packet, the handout that is in your packet, we did a master planning team and embarked on a physical condition assessment study and a campus master plan. The goals were to determine the best approach going forward. Completed in 2001, a third-party assessment identified nearly $24 million worth of deferred maintenance, and it noted that due to the numerous building deficiencies, to invest in upgrading and renovating these buildings is not a good use of state resources, and that is critical. We are good stewards of state resources, and we are committed to doing the best we can with regards to this project. Again, this would leverage access to $144 million from the federal government in terms of an investment. We have identified significant need and feel that this is a good use of those resources. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Director Johnson. Commissioner Khan.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Safia Khan, and I'm an Assistant Commissioner and Chief of Staff for the Minnesota Department of Corrections. I'm here today to express our gratitude for the significant and much-needed asset preservation funds that are included in this bill. As you know, DOC prisons are a 24/7 operation for almost 4,300 DOC staff who serve Minnesota every day. We also have about 8,000 people on any given day living in our facilities. Some of our facilities are over 130 years old. So this investment in asset preservation funds for the department will allow us to take care of projects that impact the safety of those working and living inside our facilities. I know the commissioner was before you recently, and I also want to highlight the unique nature of our asset preservation request in that we do need the non-bondable components for safety and security as well, and we also need additional programming space at a few of our facilities such as Shakopee and Faribault. As always, we are happy to work with you with this committee going forward on this. And again, thank you, Chair Lee, for your support of their requests. And they will make our staff, our visitors, and our residents a lot safer.
Thank you, Commissioner Khan. The next three will be former Representative and now Ramsey County Commissioner Rena Moran, Sean Kershaw, Director from the City of St. Paul, and then Andy Rodriguez from St. Paul Parks and Recs. Please proceed, Commissioner Moran.
Well, good afternoon, Chair Lee and members of the committee. My name is Rena Moran, Ramsey County Commissioner, and I am happy to be back here in the House. I want to thank you for the inclusion of two of Ramsey County bonding priorities, $5 million for the Bruce Vento Trail and a partial funding of the County Ag's $26 million for the Park on the River Edge. I want to talk a little bit more about the River's Edge. The county will continue to ask for the state partnership in funding the park at River's Edge and hope to be included in any other bonding or funding package this year or any other opportunity to give more. The park at River's Edge will allow public access to the Mississippi River and offer a dynamic community gathering place for public events, including cultural gatherings and events. The one thing I have learned in my short time at the county is that the county do not do anything without the community engagement and without an equity lens. As this project receives funding and moves forward, that community engagement will happen even more. Once completed, the 9-acre urban park will create a tax base needed for Ramsey County. As you may or may not know, St. Paul has a low tax base because of the many universities, government buildings, nonprofits, and religious institutions. We are in dire need of a tax base. This new tax base will help property will help keep property taxes down and rent affordable for rents and residents, and also support our schools. The development of the towers will bring $15 million of a tax base divided among the city, the school district, and the county. And this is a partnership that will lead to greater outcomes for our children, for our families, and for our diverse communities. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Commissioner Moran, and welcome back to the committee. Next up, Sean Kershaw.
Thank you, Chair Lee and committee members. My name is Sean Kershaw, and I'm the Public Works Director for the City of St. Paul. I'm here to testify in support of House File 669, which includes funding for our 3rd Street and Kellogg Boulevard Bridge. Many of you on this committee previously supported our 2020 appropriation to reconstruct this bridge, and for that, we are deeply grateful. I want to note that at the time of the original award, our bridge was at a 60% design. Like all of us in this room, we did not anticipate the pandemic and subsequent inflation increases nationwide, particularly on bridge materials, which have increased at a substantially higher rate than normal inflation. By the time our project hit 90% design, we noticed a large gap. Due solely to material cost increases, there have been no scope changes in this project. The 3rd Street Kellogg Bridge is the longest city-owned bridge in St. Paul and has numerous structural deficiencies. It was built under a MnDOT contract and turned back to the city in the 1980s. We've lane-restricted this bridge since 2014 due to structural flaws in the outer part of the bridge deck. The forthcoming Gold Line BRT will take advantage of our reconstructed bridge and will connect St. Paul to the cities of Maplewood, Landfall, Oakdale, and Woodbury. With complete funding, we will be able to fully restore traffic lanes, accommodate multimodal transportation, and improve safety by upgrading intersections, dedicating turn lanes, and creating wider trails and sidewalks for residents. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Andy Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Andy Rodriguez. I'm the Park Director for the City of St. Paul. I'm here today to testify in support of House File 670, which includes funding for the North End Community Center. The North End Community Center will be a new 25,000-square-foot facility with enhancements across the 6-acre park, which would include a new gymnasium, artificial turf space, new play area, and a variety of other amenities within that space. It is really a transformational project for the North End neighborhood that will allow us to better serve our residents. We're super excited about that opportunity and wanted to just say thank you for including it in your bill, but also note that this facility will also be a leader in sustainability design, including on-site geothermal, well field for ground source heating and cooling, and a roof-mounted solar array for on-site energy production. So really trying to be a leader in that sustainable space. We're also excited to see in this bill funding for Walk on Teepee, Conway Rec Center, and the Sauna Foundation, the Mississippi River Learning Center, and our metro regional park system. All of that funding will go towards enhancing our park system and keeping it a nationally recognized system and allowing folks to recreate in our space. So we thank you for that and your consideration, and stand for any questions.
Thank you three for coming before us. The next three will be Sarah Strong, Margaret Donahoe, and Jeff Kruger. Sarah Strong, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Sarah Strong. I'm here today on behalf of the 2,300 members of the American Institute of Architects, Minnesota, to express their support for both of these bills. Minnesota's architects, along with their partners in the construction industry, have long advocated for regular and robust capital investment bills that support projects in all phases of development, from planning and pre-design to those ready to begin construction. That regularity has too often been interrupted in recent years, making swift movement on these proposals that much more important. These bills will help address the significant backlog of deferred maintenance that is reducing the value and functionality of our public buildings. They also will invest in our local communities, including and especially communities of color that have historically suffered from underinvestment. While the investments made through state bonding are just a percentage of the total dollars spent on design and construction in the state, they're absolutely critical to help keep the construction cycle running smoothly. We should not wait any longer to make these investments in our communities. The needs will only grow and the projects will only become more expensive. So AIA Minnesota is heartened to see the early movement on bonding this session. We want to thank Chair Lee, Representative Erdahl, and the committee for their leadership, and we urge you to pass these bills as soon as possible. Thank you.
Margaret Donahoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Margaret Donahoe, Executive Director of the Minnesota Transportation Alliance. On behalf of the Alliance, I would like to thank Chair Lee and the committee for moving quickly to develop a capital investment proposal with substantial funding levels for the transportation system. This level of funding will create well-paying careers and enhance our economy. The design and construction industries are ready to get to work with this level of funding and more, and we appreciate this bill being a good start. It's time to catch up and keep up with robust capital investment bills every year that allow the state and local governments to maintain and improve the transportation system. We face a growing backlog of deficient local bridges, deteriorating local roads, as well as transit projects that will improve mobility for thousands of Minnesotans waiting for funding. We also support the funding for port and waterway projects and investments in rail, in addition to the funding for the local road wetland replacement program through Bowser. The Federal Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act will make a difference, but it does not represent a windfall that will meet all of our needs. We still need a strong level of state funding, and the money for transportation projects in this bill can be used as matching funds in order to access increased federal funds. Thank you for recognizing the need to improve the safety and effectiveness of the transportation system that Minnesotans rely on every day.
Thank you. Jeff Krueger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jeff Krueger. I'm the Executive Director for the Minnesota Association of Townships. We are a member organization of over 1,780 townships that maintain 55,500 miles of roads, which is about 41% of all roads in our state. I'm testifying on behalf or on the House File 669 for the local road improvement program and the $85,000 that are being appropriated. In 2021, our townships had submitted 185 of the 425 applications that were for that appropriation of $80 million at that point. And we had 15 projects that were awarded for a tune of over $13 million and change. What we are hoping for, excuse me, I need to look at my notes. The need is great. I appreciate the carve-out of the $6 million that is talked about in the appropriations bill. We are hoping that that's going to be a floor, not a ceiling for townships. And thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Director. Thank you all for coming by. And the next three will be Kevin Robinson, 30,000 feet, Brian Swanson from the University of Minnesota, and Patricia Nauman from Metro Cities. Welcome, and please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee and the committee members. This appropriation, 30,000 feet, would allow us to double the number of students that we serve, in which we provide technical support for young people through coding programs, after-school programming, arts and culture programming, and different things in that nature, and literacy support. So thank you, committee members, for considering our bill. And I'm going to concede the rest of my time.
Brian Swanson.
Good afternoon, Chair Lee and members of the committee. My name is Brian Swanson, and I'm here on behalf of the University of Minnesota to speak in favor of the proposed investment bill. Thank you for including full funding in the bill for the undergraduate chemistry teaching facility on the Twin Cities campus. Thousands of students from programs across the university take chemistry every semester. These new teaching labs will make an enormous difference for these students and for the businesses here in Minnesota that hire our talented graduates. Your past HEPA investments have made an incredible difference on our campuses and research centers across the state. With your 2020 HEPA allocation, we were able to repair and replace roofs on 15 buildings, upgrade elevators at Morris, Duluth, and Twin Cities, address fire life safety concerns like obsolete fire sprinklers and alarms in 7 buildings, add accessible restrooms to classroom buildings, completely overhaul the campus electrical system at Crookston, and reinvest in more than 30 buildings at a dozen of the university's research and outreach centers across the state. We appreciate the proposed $39.5 million in this bill and the ability to continue making these kinds of impactful improvements. We can and will spend every dollar of it wisely and quickly. We are hopeful that there will be an additional opportunity for capital funding this session so that we can complete more of the projects on our $200 million HEPR list, as well as the other projects on the university's request. $200 million of HEPR is what we need. We look forward to working with you on these other important projects. Thank you.
Thank you. Patricia Nauman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Patricia Nauman. I'm the Executive Director of Metro Cities, representing cities across the 7-county metro area, the state legislature and executive branch, as well as Metropolitan Council. Metro Cities supports and appreciates the inclusion of $12 million for inflow and infiltration funding for cities in the metropolitan area and the original authorship of this bill by Representative Carroll, as well as many co-authors. This funding will assist many metro cities with mitigating excess levels of inflow and infiltration, or in other words, clean water that ends up flowing into the regional wastewater pipe and ends up being treated unnecessarily. Mitigation is best done at the local level. It's more cost-effective. It still is costly, but more cost-effective to do at the local level, and it does help alleviate clean water from flowing into the regional wastewater pipe where it is treated unnecessarily and ends up using the capacity that is intended for wastewater treatment. So thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Cities will certainly put this money to good use if you do end up funding it.
Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
The next three will be Lisa Bodie, Moorhead, Margaret Innocent, Kelleher, Minneapolis, Susan Arts, Mankato. Welcome. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee, members of the committee. I want to thank you for including Moorhead's needs in the bill that you have before you. The $11 million that's included would cover almost half of the remaining in-town flood mitigation work that Moorhead started in 2009, and we're nearing the finish line. So this is really good news for us. My primary message today is about timing. We're so excited to see this early, and if we can pass this very soon in both the House and the Senate, we have shovel-ready projects that could be implemented yet this summer. So it would help us with inflation. It would help us make great progress on this. And I also want to say that I'm glad to hear in the committee on Monday that the conversation will continue. We do have an additional $13 million in flood mitigation needs that was included in the governor's bill. So I understand this is early and that we have more to do. We also have an issue that we'll be sharing more information about on a project that the legislature funded in 2020. Related to an underpass, and that we got federal funding, but we have an inflation gap. So we'll provide more information on that, but wanted to say thank you, and we're ready to go.
Director Bodie, can you identify yourself for the record, please?
Name is Lisa Bodie, Governmental Affairs Director for the City of Moorhead.
Thank you. Director Margaret Anderson Kelleher.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Margaret Anderson Kelleher. I am the Public Works Director for the City of Minneapolis. Chair Lee, Vice Chair Ryer, Ranking Member Erdahl, thank you for including the Minneapolis Stormwater Tunnel funding at $9.9 million in House File 670. Funding for the Central City Tunnel will increase the capacity in this vital part of downtown Minneapolis in this infrastructure. This tunnel was built in the 1930s. It is vastly undersized for the amount of growth that has happened in downtown, the amount of rain and snow that we are getting nowadays. And what it means is that this tunnel, I've been down in this tunnel already, it is almost as high as this room and about 20 feet wide, to give you a sense of how large this tunnel is. This $9.9 million that's been included in the bill is part of a total package for this project of $57 million. That means the state is supporting this infrastructure that protects the economy of downtown Minneapolis and the region. It will also help us make sure that we are not damaging the infrastructure through what is happening today with overpressurization. That's about 17% of the project members. We are glad the proposal is in the bill, Chair Lee. Thank you for this. We also have some other priorities that I'll just mention very briefly that we hope you'll attend to later. Nicollet Bridge, the Emergency Training Operations Center, and the ADA PED ramps. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Director. Susan Arntz.
Good afternoon. My name is Susan Arntz, and I serve as the city manager for the city of Mankato. I'm here to talk about a regional wastewater treatment facility. We call it our water resource recovery facility. It's the least sexy thing that we do in Mankato. It does not also get better with like wine or cheese either. Our project has grown in the last handful of years from about a $44 million estimated project to an $85 to $89 million project. We are sitting in a failed condition in our current operation. We provide services to 10 other or 9 other communities in addition to Mankato, 6 of which other communities we provide wastewater services to, and the other handful of communities we provide phosphorus trading grants. We are in desperate need of moving this project forward. The project currently, as I say, sits in a failed condition. Through the ingenuity and tenacity of our staff, they are taking broken pieces to local fabricators to see if we can make replacement parts because we can't find them. We really need your support. We appreciate that it's been included with partial funding in this current bill and would hope that you could partner with us to help the communities we serve. In 2017, the city of Mankato started increasing rates in anticipation for the $44 million project, and we are short of that. So we have about $47 million for this project.
Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
The next three, we have Jennifer Posing, John Motor, who will be testifying remotely, and Chris Fretzen. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Lee and members of the committee. I'm Jennifer Posing, and I'm the CEO at Tubman. Thank you, Representative Lilly. We're proud to be located in your district and appreciate your longstanding support for Tubman's work. And thank you, Representative Erdahl, for coming to tour the facility a couple of weeks ago. We so appreciate inclusion of $3,388,300 as part of this capital investment bill, House File 670. Every year, Tubman serves nearly 20,000 people, youth, adults, and families who have experienced domestic violence, sex trafficking, homelessness, addiction, mental health crises, and other trauma. We provide safe shelter, housing, legal services, mental health and substance abuse treatment, violence prevention, education, youth services, and jobs, education, and finance training. All of our programs are designed by, with, and for survivors using an equity lens. The public benefits of this project are community safety, accessibility, and economic security. Harriet Tubman Center East is a 58-year-old, 110,000-square-foot, historically significant building in Maplewood that we own and operate. To expand programs to serve a growing number of clients, we have to have this investment in capital improvements. We have a proven track record of ethical and sound stewardship of our resources, and we've already raised $3.2 million from the private sector to fund aspects of the larger project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, John Motor, testifying remotely.
Chair Lee, Ranking Member Erdahl, and members of the committee, hopefully you can hear me. Thank you for allowing me to appear via Zoom. My name is John Motor. I'm the city administrator for the city of Hermantown. I'm here to testify in support of the capital investment bill. We are requesting $7.4 million for a regional community and sports center, which will include an additional sheet of ice, and that will be matched by over $12.4 million in local funds in the form of sales tax and private donations. The city of Hermantown is a growing city in northeast Minnesota and is becoming a regional center for wellness and recreation. For the past 10 years, our city council has made wellness and recreation a priority by improving parks, creating trails, and building a wellness center, all of which serve not just the residents of Hermantown, but the broader community and region. Our city council knows that it represents a geographic area, but it also knows that community isn't bound by our city limits. The city has embarked on a community recreation initiative that would reimagine and improve our central park, a trail system that would connect the community gathering places with our neighboring communities, and an expansion of an ice arena to serve residents of our region of all ages. All three of these projects were overwhelmingly approved by the voters in November. But with planning that had to begin before a global pandemic and inflation, we are now requesting state investment to complete that regional and community sports center. Thank you for the committee to the committee and Representative Natalie Zlezinkar for your support of the project.
Thank you. The next person, Chris Fretzen.
Thank you, Chair Lee, Lee Erdahl, and members of the committee. My name is Chris Fretzen. I'm Director of Public Affairs for Launa, Minnesota, and North Dakota. We are proud to represent more than 13,000 skilled construction laborers who build and maintain our transportation, water, energy infrastructure, and communities across Minnesota. We want to thank all of you for your work over the last few years in support of these important local projects and jobs that create family-supporting careers for our members. As you know, 2022 was a bonding year, and the legislature failed to pass a bonding bill. Minnesotans deserve better. We ask you to pass a large construction jobs bill early in the 2023 legislative session. Minnesota's crumbling infrastructure and is an increasing threat to the health, safety, and economic prosperity of our state. Now is the time to make our roads, bridges, transit, and water systems safer. We need to fix, catch up, and keep up our infrastructure. And passing a large capital investment bill will help us do that. As many of you know, we recently doubled the size of our training center in Lionel Lakes to help meet the need for skilled construction laborers. And now we need state leaders to do your part. We urge you to come together and get the job done. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming before us. The next three will be Maggie Lorenz, Melissa Taphorn, and Mary McComber. Maggie, please identify yourself and proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Lee, Vice Chair Ryer, Republican Lead Erdahl, my own district representative Zhang, and members of the Capital Investment Committee. I want to thank you so much for your quick work in putting forward this bill for projects that are in urgent need of capital funding, including Wakong Tepe Center in St. Paul. My name is Maggie Lorenz. I'm the Executive Director for Lower Failing Creek Project. We are a Native-led nonprofit developing this project in the city of St. Paul, and we are requesting $2.5 million to finish this project. We've completed site work and utility work for this project as of November 22. This $2.5 million will ensure that we are able to go out to bid in next month and get this building complete. As you know, this project is a public-private partnership with the city of St. Paul. This cultural interpretive center is a one-of-a-kind cultural center for the Twin Cities, and the work that we are doing to protect and honor indigenous sacred sites in this urban area is a national model for how to do this work in collaboration with local land-owning agencies and tribal governments. Finally, I want to remind the committee that the Wakong Tepe Center is part of a larger initiative, the Urban Indigenous Legacy Initiative. This historic effort is a request to infuse capital investment into 14 culturally affirming projects in Minnesota's urban indigenous community. And we thank you for your commitment to our vision for our collective future.
Thank you. Next up, Melissa Taphorn.
Good afternoon, Chair Lee and committee members. My name is Melissa Taphorn. I am the legislative chair for Minnesota NARO, the National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials. I'm also the executive director of the Washington County Community Development Agency. On behalf of Minnesota NARO and the 117 public housing agencies throughout this great state, I want to thank you for including public housing rehabilitation in this bill. And I urge you to vote yes on investing $72 million into these public assets. I had the ability to share with you last month the dire needs and capital improvements or capital backlog in public housing. And I am so excited to see that you also value these public assets and are investing this money today.
And we will leverage these funds with our federal and local resources and to make health and safety improvements, energy efficiency improvements, and other critical need improvements that will extend the life of these buildings. And I would also extend our thanks from our public housing residents, the 336,000 residents that we have today, but also the thousands that will come ahead of or after them in these units. And we look forward to a time when we can give you a tour of all of these buildings and see the impact of this investment. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Mayor McComber.
Thank you, Chair and members. My name is Mary McComber. I'm the mayor of Oak Park Heights, and I'm here to talk today about the inclusion, and thank you so much for that being in the bill. And also thank you for taking the tour to our city to see the project firsthand. What we are asking for is the money to put in the infrastructure to where the current Allen S. King plant is. It is being retired much earlier than we thought it was going to be, and that is 32% of our tax base. In preparation for that, the city has worked long and hard coming up with plans for what the redevelopment will be, and this will get the infrastructure in there to have it shovel-ready for what future development. We appreciate your time today and look forward to your consideration of this.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. The next three will be Fartun Weili, Sam Rockwell, and Osman Ali. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Chair and members of the committee, my name is Fartun Weili. I'm the CEO of Isurun. Isurun is an impact organization that serves Somali women and their families. On behalf of 18,000 Somali women, I want to thank you for including this funding bill to your list. We support Somali women and their families to be self-sufficient, and what is most important thing to us is delivering culturally specific services. Our bonding bill proposal is for our Minneapolis office location. Because we're at Minneapolis, that doesn't mean we only serve Minneapolis alone. Last data we looked at our sales scores showed that we have 6-7 zip codes that Somali women and their families come from. This bonding bill will help us renovate our building and reconfigure the space, and that will allow us to serve to do our mission and bring to our building up to code. The 4,000 square feet at the basement right now is now out of code, therefore we cannot use it. I want to stick to my 45 seconds, so I want to thank you. This is a historical move for our bill to make your list. And I just want to remind you that Minnesota's wealth and equality, it does not equal everybody. And I believe in our state and our mission that we can serve people very culturally specific way, asset-based, not deficit-based. I'm happy to answer any questions, but I know you're busy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next up, Sam Rockwell.
Thank you, Chair Lee, members of the committee. My name is Sam Rockwell. I am at Move Minnesota and here to testify in strong support of the record proposed $72 million for bus rapid transit. Investments in our bus rapid transit system are investments in both the present and the future of our community. These lines immediately improve the lives of those currently riding transit. Bus rapid transit lines expand workforce opportunities in an era of record low unemployment, and they act as an important step in our critical journey to build a more just, racially and economically inclusive state by narrowing the access gap for lower income riders and riders of color who are disproportionately represented on our transit system. And they're also an investment in our future. The most recent figures from Metro Transit, just out a couple days ago, show that BRT ridership is bouncing back at more than twice the rate as our transit system as a whole, and increasing transit ridership through BRT investments and decreasing the need to own a car to fully participate in our society is essential for delivering on Minnesota's climate obligations. As you consider these investments, keep the riders and the potential for community connection in mind. Antoinette Kamara of Cottage Grove testified a few weeks ago, "I take the bus. It has been essential to my day, getting to work, school, groceries, everything. In order to literally survive and get to where I am now, public transportation was necessary. Morgan in St. Paul wrote us, "At one point or another, I've used transit to do everything in my life here in the Twin Cities. Getting to and from work, meeting friends, getting to parks, hikes, concerts, etc. Metro transit is one of the absolute best things about living here, and we need to make sure it gets better." Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Osman Ali.
Good afternoon. My name is Osman Ali. I'm the founder and the executive director of the Somali Museum of Minnesota, which... You hear me?
Yep. Please proceed.
Sorry. I was just tapping you.
I'm the director and executive director of the Somali Museum of Minnesota. Last year, we applied for $10 million for our new site. We are asking for $3.9 million. We already have the site control, and it's the first start project for the museum. This will cover part of the design, redesign, and some of the project management. When project is complete, we will make history in the creation of the permanent home for the only Somali museum in the world, making it possible for Somali youth to have an opportunity to study their traditional culture. This display of our collection over classes and performance on site, space for youth and elders to gather, and space for building bridges between the communities to learn from each other. Entire community will get the feeling that they finally own something that represent them. This will be a dream come true for East African immigrant community in the state of Minnesota and everywhere else in North America. We have a lot of museums in the state of Minnesota, and this community, they want to be part of that great Minnesota for different museums. And thank you so much for adding our bill for this, you know, and giving consideration for us. And thanks for everybody who's listening to me, and I hope you are supporting this bill, and thank you so much.
Thank you all for being here. The next three, we have Dr. Amy Marco, Mark Poirier, and then Adaro Reiser-Cobb. Welcome, please identify yourself and proceed.
Good afternoon, Chairman Lee and members of the Capital Investment Committee. My name is Dr. Amy Markle. I'm the Recreation Services Director with the City of Richfield, and I'm here today to express our appreciation and gratitude for including the Woodlake Nature Center building project in the House's bonding bill. These funds are an investment into this regional gem to ensure that it has a bright future, including the continued prioritization of equitable access and opportunities to connect nature through environmental education, school field trips, outdoor recreation in the heart of the metro. We also are continuing to conserve 150 acres of vital forest, marsh, and prairie. That includes endangered species and visits from over 200 different avian species throughout the year. We also have a strong commitment to removing barriers that people face in accessing the outdoors, such as financial and transportation barriers. These funds are part of a $24 million sustainably built building that will include items like geothermal and solar into the build, and it will serve as a model to the region what a sustainably built building will look like. Richfield has a modest tax base, and we have supported this facility for over 50 years, and we appreciate the support of the state in this invaluable resources future. Thank you.
Mr. Poirier, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee. My name is Mark Poirier, Executive Director of the Army Arts and Music Center, a nonprofit that was formed 20 years ago to save and rehabilitate the Armory, the Duluth Army, which is one of Duluth's most historic buildings. We appreciate the $4.5 million included in House File 670 and for this project. And while we're excited about the Armory's amazing history, we are most excited about the Armory's future. Our vision is to create a community gathering space full of arts and culture and economic and entrepreneurial development opportunities with a special emphasis on food and the food industry. The Armory is located in a low-income census tract with one-third of Duluth's BIPOC community living within a mile of the Armory. The Armory project will help revitalize its neighborhood and provide employment opportunities to those in the immediate neighborhood. Our Food Enterprise Center will feature a production kitchen, training kitchen, and a farm food hub storage and distribution center. This will create training and entrepreneurial opportunities for people starting food-related businesses, including women and members of the BIPOC community, which make up a majority of food industry workers, but only a fraction of business owners. Our Music Resource Center, an after-school music program for teens, will provide access for musical instruments, recording equipment, and lessons in a safe and supportive environment. The program typically has a very diverse mix of students, and many students come from households with limited means. The Armory is a $38.5 million private-public partnership, and we are teamed with Sherman Associates. We are seeking $6.5 million for the project, and the funding from this bill will go a long ways to making the project a reality. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Adaro Reiser-Cobb.
Good afternoon, Chair Lee and members. My name is Adaro Reiser-Cobb, and I am the Chief Operating Officer at Keystone Community Services. We are here in support of the HF 670, which provides $2.3 million from the state to Keystone Community Services for a 20,000 square foot community food site that will support 50,000 people with healthy food. Keystone is the largest food shelf provider in the East Metro. The number of new participants nearly tripled in 2022 and compared to 2021. The total number of visits increased 80%. This new community food site will function like a community center on University Avenue with more room to offer community programming as well as much larger food market area and a large warehouse area to store food and other donated household items. There will be a garage on site that will house our two food mobiles. At the site, we will be able to double the amount of food, going from 2 million pounds to 4 million pounds per year. We can provide our community, including household items that we do not have room for now, supporting more people with more food. We would like to thank Representative Finke, Representative Hewitt, and former Representative Moran and Mariani for supporting our project over the years. We have raised $8.1 million. And of the $10.7 million, we are shovel ready. The passage of this bill will help us start construction immediately. Thank you.
Thank you all for being here. The next three, we have Molly Jensen, Captain Mears, and Fran Marlin. Welcome, please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee, and good afternoon, committee members. My name is Molly Jansen, and I'm the Government Relations Specialist for the Nature Conservancy in Minnesota. Thank you for the opportunity to comment today on the DE amendment to House File 669. We especially want to thank Chair Lee and members of the committee for proposed investments in reforestation, community tree planting, and modernization of the state forest nursery. These investments will backfill reforestation needs and support the planting of new trees in forests and communities around the state. We also thank the committee for the proposed appropriation for the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, or CREP, which will complete the state's financial matching agreement with the USDA. As the committee considers a new bonding bill in 2023, we encourage the committee to consider investments in natural climate solutions that go above and beyond those proposed today. Science tells us that natural climate solutions, which includes tree planting, strategic land protection, and soil health practices, are a key pathway to meeting the state's carbon sequestration goals and also help to preserve biodiversity and protect our state's water, working forests, and grasslands. Natural climate solutions are bipartisan and widely supported by Minnesotans. So now more than ever, the state has an opportunity to make substantial investments in natural climate solutions so that future generations can enjoy our state's resources. Thank you to the committee for its work and the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you. Catherine Mears.
Thank you. My name is Catherine Mears, and I am the Executive Director of Avenues for Youth. We support youth experiencing homelessness with shelters and transitional living programs in Minneapolis and Brooklyn Park. Chair Lee, Vice Chair Ryer, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House File 670. Minnesota is facing an unsheltered homelessness crisis. An estimated 13,300 youth alone will experience homelessness in Minnesota this year. Avenues works every day to address this crisis, but shelter capacity in the metro and statewide is not even close enough to meet the need. When provided developmentally appropriate supports, youth can successfully move into stable housing and thrive as young adults. Avenues will build a new home for our shelter and transitional living program in Minneapolis. Our current Minneapolis building was built in 1934. The space is crowded and does not adequately meet the needs of our young people. We know that a building's design and space is imperative to the safety and the security of our youth during their stay with us. The new building will also allow us to grow our programming to fill the capacity, to fill the gap that is left by current shelter capacity. Financing shelter capital projects is difficult. There are minimal funding options for shelter capital, and we must braid multiple funding streams of small amounts over the course of a multi-year campaign. Please take this opportunity to invest in this critical infrastructure that saves lives. If we wait, young people will continue to couch hop, live on the streets, and stay in abusive situations. Thank you for including Avenues for Youth in this bill. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to this crucial investment for our organization and our community.
Thank you. Commissioner Myron.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. My name is Fran Miron, and I'm a Washington County Commissioner. Washington County is in the East Metro area. We're the fifth largest county in population, representing nearly 270,000 residents. We were surprised to see that in the initial draft of House File 669, not even one of Washington County's capital funding requests were listed. This includes our top funding request to make major improvements to a very dangerous intersection located at State Highway 36 and County Highway 17. This intersection is under the jurisdiction of the state of Minnesota, but we, the county, are leading the effort to make the improvements necessary to make the intersection safe, an effort that was fully supported by the county's entire legislative delegation when we met in January. The severity and frequency of the crashes, the congestion, make this intersection a major safety concern. This concern was recognized by the Regional Transportation Advisory Board, which awarded this project $10 million in federal funding that expires in 2025. Today, we restate our request for $20 million in state funds to match existing federal and local funds so that we can make the needed improvements to the state highway to keep residents of our county and the entire East Metro area safe. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you all for being here. The next three, we have Emily Murray, Dr. Anthony Stately, and Nate George. Welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, for the record, my name is Emily Murray with the Association of Minnesota Counties. On behalf of AMC, we want to thank you for the investments included in House File 669 for local roads and bridges, safe routes to school, active transportation, and bus rapid transit. With the $75 million available for the local road program in 2020, 75 projects were funded. During that solicitation, MnDOT received over 400 applications, totaling $344 million in requests, further supporting the need for this continued investment. As for local bridges, counties alone have identified over 500 bridges on the Master Bridge Priority List. We appreciate the support for these two programs. We also want to thank you for the $12 million in bonds for the Local Road Wetland Replacement Program. Currently, 5 of the 10 bank service areas are deficient, and without a cash investment in addition to the bonds, more costly mechanisms may be needed to keep projects going. The Solid Waste Capital Assistance Program is important for our ability to manage problematic materials and for diverting waste to recycling and composting opportunities. We appreciate the inclusion of funding for Olmsted County's project, but want to acknowledge that there are 5 additional projects that have been included in the governor's recommendations the last 2 years that remain unfunded. Finally, AMC wants to thank you for the inclusion of $10 million for the Behavioral Health Crisis Facilities Grants. Counties receiving these dollars in the past have been able to partner with providers to stand up new facilities and fill some of the most persistent gaps in our mental health services continuum. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Dr. Stately.
Bougie relatives, thank you, Chair Lee and Vice Chair Ryer and committee members for inviting me here today. I'm Anthony Stately. I'm the Executive Officer of the Native American Community Clinic. NAC is a federally qualified healthcare center and nonprofit community clinic located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor in South Minneapolis along Franklin Avenue. NAC opened its doors 20 years ago today, February 15, 2003, with the mission to provide healing for the mind, body, and spirits of our American Indian families in Twin Cities, provide high-quality care to all regardless of the ability to pay for those services, and to reduce the health disparities of American Indian community in the Twin Cities, one of the largest and densest urban populations of American Indians in the country. Today, we are still working diligently towards this mission. We offer a full range of healthcare services that include medical, dental, mental health, and chemical health programs. NAC approaches healthcare by addressing root causes of health disparities, including access to food, housing, and health insurance, with services such as resource navigation, care coordination, outreach, and community-based activities through the use of our peer recovery coaches and community health workers. NAC strives to honor health and tradition by providing spiritual care and access to cultural healing through our traditional healing program. At NAC, we take pride in our ability to address whole person care in one setting. We provide 19,000 plus patient visits to more than 4,500 individuals each year. 75% of NAC's patients fall below 100% federal poverty level. Thank you for including us in the bonding bill for our capital project. We significantly expect that we will be able to increase our clinical footprint from 21,000 square feet to 30,000 square feet and significantly improve our ability to deliver care to our patients in the cultural corridor. Chimiguich and Padamie for your time and your support.
Thank you, Dr. Stein. Mayor George.
Thank you, Chair Lee, Republican Lead Erdahl, and committee members. My name is Nate George. I'm the mayor of Bram. Bram residents will shoulder a massive fiscal burden with 2023 tax notices about to come out showing a 43% property tax hike, due in large part to numerous unplanned emergency water system repair costs that depleted our general fund. We've already had two major water main breaks in less than a month this year, not terribly unusual given the 90-plus year age of most of our water and sewer pipes. We're a city of 1,800, and more than a quarter of our families are at poverty level or lower. We are grateful to finally see the state matching funds going to PFA, and lead service line funds will benefit our community greatly. We are also hoping you provide our city with surplus general fund dollars in this bill or later this year. We're asking $3.55 million for an immediate first phase start to upgrade the failing infrastructure. Those costs, which just went up $2.5 million in the last month, due to new MPCA design requirements. Lastly, we ask that you please keep the current needs-based PFA funding formula. That is the fairest, most equitable solution for cities of all sizes and that have varying needs. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you all for being here. The next two and the last two for the agenda for public testimony, Janet Lorenzo and Director Kelleher. Welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Lee, members of the committee. Thank you for giving me this time. My name is Janet Lorenzo. I'm the Assistant Department Service Officer for the American Legion Department of Minnesota. Our organization represents veterans, their families, their communities across our state and nation. The American Legion stemmed from the notion of veterans helping fellow veterans. For decades, we have helped one another from programs that get veterans involved in their communities, writing the GI Bill itself. We helped start the VA as well, and we maintain relationships with all government agencies, state, federal. Obviously, we care. We have been involved in the passage of legislation for the PACT Act at the federal level and the Veterans Restorative Act, the Veterans Restorative Justice Act at the state level. The American Legion Department of Minnesota Veterans Rehab staff members like myself regularly visit our Minnesota veterans' homes to ensure the care of our veterans and to ensure the state is upholding its end of the bargain. That is why I'm here before you today. I am asking you to include the campus upgrade of the Hastings Veterans Home in this bonding bill. Minnesotans have long waited enough for the bonding bill to pass so that our state can provide its share to release federal matching funds. The American Legion favors the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs replacing the six older buildings of the campus, nine buildings, so that the Minnesota can better serve the 140 veterans in the MDVA's domiciliary program. Rest assured that funding this will be well received back in your home districts. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Director Kelleher.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Erdahl, members of the committee. I'm David Kelleher with the Minnesota Historical Society. We'd like to thank you for the support for Historic Sites Asset Preservation and the County and Local Historic Preservation Grants Program contained in this bill. Funding provided will help to preserve some of Minnesota's most historically significant buildings and structures for the education and enjoyment of our visitors today and in future generations. We do have much more work ahead of us, however. As we discussed with the committee last week, we have tens of millions of dollars worth of unmet needs for asset preservation at historic sites and historic structures in the statutorily defined Historic Sites Network, which is a state responsibility. As funding for these important projects is delayed, they only get more expensive and complicated due to advanced deterioration and increased costs. As these bills advance, and in a potential second capital budget bill in this legislative session and in a bonding bill for the 2024 session, we would sincerely appreciate your support for additional historic sites asset preservation funding. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Kelleher. Thank you both for being here. Members, that ends the public portion of the public testimony. I'll now turn it over to any committee members' comments or questions for discussions. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank the testifiers for doing their fine job of moving through this. I used to call this the lightning round. Went through that quickly. You know, there are a lot of good programs, projects we talked about today, and hopefully everything is going to work out. I just want to say this because there are some that have concerns that they didn't get any funding or not as much funding or whatever. And I make no promises here, but I'm just reminding them, all of you, that in that library portion that says $185 million, and it's not really for libraries, we will be considering that. And so some who feel left out may not be when the final amount is put together.
Any other questions, comments, members? Seeing none, I do want to echo my thanks to all the public testifiers today, especially to those who came in speaking in support and also those who are asking for inclusion. And to Representative Erdahl's remark, I really appreciate that, and that for the public, we still have much more work to do. And I will ask that all of our committee members, you know, join hand in working together to have a more robust bonding bill that could address some of the unmet needs that we have heard from today. And I will hope that we can, you know, work with our colleagues in the other body to really work with us to start moving this proposal forward. As a reminder, you know, this is a 2022 proposal. It is my hope that we could, you know, get ready for a 2023 and 2024 proposal for this biennium. And members, before we end, my staff just reminded me that we do have to adopt the minutes. And so, Representative Ryers, can I have a motion to adopt the minutes for February 13th?
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the minutes from February 13th.
Representative Ryers moves approval of the minutes for February 13th. Any discussions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the minutes for February 13th are approved. And then, members, before you all leave, I would ask that you please keep your green folder with the language and also the budget tracking sheets in your folder so that we don't have to have staff reprint this. And then just outline for next week, on Monday the 20th, on the agenda is the markup and vote for House File 669 to 670. Amendments are due by 1 p.m. on Friday the 17th this week to the committee administrator. With no further business, this meeting is adjourned.